Please pray with me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the past few weeks, we have seen how God provided for the people of Israel to lead them out of Egypt. So we saw Moses, who was chosen and protected as a baby and then called to speak for God before Pharaoh. We saw the manna provided for the people of Israel to meet their needs in the wilderness, the manna, which meant, what is it? The law given for the people of Israel and for all of us to show us how to live as God's people. I lived that out for you and with you in our singing of the law. Now I want to look at the way God used the pillars of cloud and fire to guide the people of Israel during their many years in the desert. And my point will be that in many ways, the people were in the dark as they left Egypt and as they followed God to the land of Israel. They needed the guidance God provided in the pillars of cloud and fire, and so do we. For one thing, the people of Israel were in the desert. It was not an easy land that they faced. Look at what this desert looks like. Vast expanses, mountains, rugged. God did not lead them on the most direct and well-traveled route along the Mediterranean coast. Look at that. It's a lot of desert to cross. They didn't head up US 19. Or over to I-75 or across I-4. They could have used a main road, but they didn't, because if they had taken the main road, they would have immediately encountered Egypt's defense system. Besides, the busy roads would be easy for the Egyptian chariots to travel. God's people would be easily overtaken and brought back into slavery. So look a minute at the map showing the routes from Egypt to the land of Israel. Israel would be up there on the right-hand side near, you see the Dead Sea, the piece of blue up there. At the very top, right near there, it says Jerusalem. That's the Holy Land area up there. We can see that the route the people could have followed, the I-4, US 19 route. It's that straight route right up there along the Mediterranean Sea. That would have been pretty straightforward, wouldn't it? That main road, that's a route I would have chosen, a straightforward route along the north. It would have been easy to follow, relatively easy to travel. But that route would not guarantee the safety of the people of God. It was not a journey that would give the people time to become who they needed to become. In contrast, perhaps you can see the route that we think they actually walked, and that is marked with the red lines. It goes way down by the Gulf of Suez and all the way back up. See where it says the wilderness of what I call sin, but that's short for Sinai, the wilderness of sin, and then back up and loops around and up to Moab, Edom and Moab. That's what I would call the long way around. Nothing about that was easy. The people went south into the desert, a trail full of mountains and rock and sand. Look what that might have looked like. Imagine traveling that route with old people and babies, with whole clans of people and what it took for them to survive. Think what that journey must have been like. 40 years traveling that wilderness. Well, I like imagining the people of Israel trying to find their way. You are here. That way to Egypt. As one commentator pointed out, the people that Moses led were ill prepared. They didn't have food, supplies, or defenses. They were also ill prepared, having no idea how to manage as an organized people. Even Moses wasn't an experienced leader. We can read about Moses' father-in-law who comes to visit, and he has to suggest some basic strategies to Moses, like when he said, "Look, Moses, you need to appoint some others who can make decisions so you don't have to do it all." Pretty basic stuff. You see, Moses had no clue. But it was true of the people, too. They were really ill prepared. They have been dominated by Egypt for generations. They have no leaders. They have no idea how to become a nation of people. They need time to learn. They need time to care for one another. More importantly, they need time to understand who their God is and what it is to be God's people. So I thought that I would share with you some of the passages that tell us what's going on here. The first passage I want to share with you comes from Nehemiah. He's a later leader, and this comes from a prayer that Nehemiah prays, thanking God. He says, "Lord, you saw the distress of our ancestors in Egypt, and you heard their cry at the Red Sea. You performed signs and wonders against Pharaoh and all his servants and all the people of his land. For you knew that they acted insolently against our ancestors. You made a name for yourself, which remains to this day. And you divided the sea before them so that they passed through the sea on dry land, but you threw their pursuers into the depths, like a stone into mighty waters. Moreover, you led them by day with a pillar of cloud, and by night with a pillar of fire, to give them light on the way in which they should go. You came down also upon Mount Sinai and spoke with them from heaven, and gave them right ordinances and true laws, good statutes and commandments. And you made known your holy Sabbath to them and gave them commandments and statutes and a law through your servant Moses. For their hunger you gave them bread from heaven, and for their thirst you brought water from them for them out of a rock, and you told them to go in to possess the land that you swore to give them." In that prayer, Nehemiah tells the story of the people leaving Egypt and going into the promised land. We hear, don't we, all the themes, all that we've studied these last weeks, from the calling of Moses and the giving of the law. Now listen to the account we find in Psalm 105. "Then God brought Israel out with silver and gold, and there was no one among their tribes who stumbled. Egypt was glad when they departed, for dread of them had fallen upon it. God spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give light by night. They asked, and God brought quails and gave them food from heaven in abundance. God opened the rock, and water gushed out. It flowed through the desert like a river. For God remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant. So God brought his people out with joy, his chosen ones with singing. God gave them the lands of the nations, and they took possession of the wealth of the peoples, that they might keep God's statutes and observe God's laws." Can you see all those people down there? It's a little dark. It was a long journey. Finally, I wanted to give you an account we find in the book of Numbers. It tells about the fire and the cloud and what they were like. This specifically tells also about the tabernacle, the tent. They called it the tent of meeting. It was used for worship in the time of Moses, in the time of the wilderness. Reading from Numbers 9. "On the day the tabernacle was set up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the covenant, and from evening until morning, it was over the tabernacle having the appearance of fire. It was always so. The cloud covered it by day, and it had the appearance of fire by night. Whenever the cloud lifted from over the tent, then the Israelites would set out. And in the place where the clouds settled down, there the Israelites would camp. At the command of the Lord, the Israelites would set out, and at the command of the Lord, they would camp. As long as the cloud rested over the tabernacle, they would remain in camp. Even when the cloud continued over the tabernacle many days, the Israelites would keep the charge of the Lord and would not set out. It's pretty mysterious that during that long, hard journey, 40 years, the people of Israel knew the presence of God, the provisions of God, the protection of God in the manna, the quail, the water, and the pillar, which was in the day like a cloud and at night was an appearance of fire. The pillar showed the people when to travel and where to walk. The pillar of cloud provided shade from the hot desert sun and protection from the enemies. And the pillar of fire lit their steps when they traveled at night. The pillar told them clearly that God was present with them and that God would show them where and when to go. They needed that. They were assured of God's presence, God's guidance, and God's protection. Well, good, Jenny, that's fine, but what's the point? Did you walk us through all these passages just for the history lesson? Are we going to have a test? Well, sure, maybe. That's a good idea. No? No test. All right. What did the pillar look like in the dark?
Fire.
What did the pillar look like in the day?
Cloud.
You passed. Good job. Well, you know what? I guess I started out thinking of this as a history lesson. What was happening with the people of Israel as they left Egypt? How did God show where they should be and that God was with them? It was a history lesson. But really, there's more to it than that. I think the truth is that we find ourselves sometimes trying to see in the dark. Not just the literal dark, like when the power goes out or when your light bulb blows or when macular degeneration threatens your sight. There are just times when we don't know what to think or which way to turn or how to resolve the issues before us. Which way do we go? That's true in my life. Times when I don't know what to think, which way to turn, how to resolve the issues that I'm dealing with in my life as a pastor in the church, as a mom, a grandmom, a woman, a wife, needing the guidance. I need to know that God is there in the cloud in the daytime, in the fire at night, that God is present, that God provides protection, that God provides guidance, even when I don't really know about it. I suspect that's true for each of us. We try to find the right path. We try to see in the dark. And I think we saw that pretty clearly this past week as our nation found itself processing the choice of a Supreme Court justice. Surely we were walking in the dark. All of us want to do it right. All of us want to make a good choice, the right choice, to find the system set forth in the Constitution to work well for our nation. But the decision isn't as clear as we hoped. It isn't something we can easily agree on. So we're back to seeing in the dark, back to walking without enough light. So we speak up, we share our ideas, we make our opinions known, and we trust in the process. Because we're Americans, we trust in our process. In the end, the best thing for any of us to do is to follow the advice we find in Proverbs 2:6. Seek God's will in all you do, and He will show you the path to take. that will help as we struggle with how to use our resources, how to listen to and counsel our children, what to say to the annoying neighbor, how to make decisions about our health and where to live and what to do. Then as we speak up, as we share our ideas, as we make our hopes and opinions known, as we trust in the process of our families, of our church, of our nation, we, people of faith, pray that God is with us now, just as God was with the people in the desert, that God provides the food and the protection and the guidance that we all need, showing us the way every day, in every situation, every moment. So seek God's will in all you do, my people. God will show you, as God showed the people of Israel, the path to take. It may not be the shortest route, the easiest route, but it is the route that God travels with us. Let us pray. We trust you, O Lord. We trust you to know where we need to be and where we need to go. We trust you to provide light in the darkness and direction when we are lost. Help us to listen, to wait, and to be bold enough to travel on when you tell us. In Christ we pray. Amen.